Well, I love you guys. I suppose there's a lot I just want to talk about, but I'm going to preach. I do have a word for you. So I want to encourage you to do this. Just kind of close your eyes and just talk to the Lord in your own way. And you just might want to pray in the Spirit. If you have a prayer language, just whisper to the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. And what I'm after here is that we tap into the spirit realm. You know, you're more spirit than you are natural. And so go ahead, just feel free. This is a believer's meeting. Just pray in the Holy Spirit if you have your prayer language. And if you don't, that's okay too. But just tap into the things of the Spirit. Yeah. That's it, more. We want to be Spirit-led tonight. I want the Holy Spirit to do something very, very special. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Lord, I thank you for the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for understanding and wisdom. But Daddy, I'm asking tonight that I could speak spirit to spirit. That I wouldn't preach in the soul tonight, but I would preach out of the Spirit tonight. And I pray that it would be like a river, and everything the river touches would live, and everything the river touches would be healed tonight. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Holy Spirit, thank you. Because we know that when it's of the Spirit, it'll bring life. And I just give you praise for that. So, Lord, I submit myself to you and to the leadership of this church. I submit myself to my brothers and sisters and ask, Lord, that you would just release greater revelation. And we just give you the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we want to welcome you tonight, and I really do feel like God's going to do something special if you're watching online, and we just trust that you'll be able to receive wherever you're listening tonight. I want to read to you John chapter 10 and verse 10. I know that you guys have this memorized, but I want to read it to you as a lead-in to what I'm going to share tonight. The title of the series is Living Life Beyond Regret. Can you please say that out loud? Say, Living Life Beyond Regret. And that's really my heart and prayer for us, is that we wouldn't be held back by any kind of regret. I think it's human nature to regret certain things, to regret missed opportunities, to be disappointed about things. And if we're completely honest and transparent, oftentimes it paralyzes us and holds us back from being everything that God wants us to be and doing everything that God wants us to do. And so all of us experience regret in different ways. That's part of human nature. But God wants us to live beyond that, that it wouldn't hold us back. And so I've entitled this Living Beyond Regret. And last night we talked about disappointments and unfulfilled dreams. Tonight I want to talk about depression and anxiety. And I really want to encourage you to listen in, because depression and anxiety is such a big part of our society now. And so even if you're not struggling with this, I really want to encourage you to lean in, listen in, because it's going to help you in the ministry process. Because I would guess that tonight, there are some people that are struggling with that, but even if you're not, you know someone very close to you that is. You might have a family member. You might have some very, very close friends or someone in your church that you know is really struggling with depression and anxiety. And so I really want to encourage you to listen in, not only for victory for yourself, because you may encounter this at different times. How many people know life has a lot of ups and downs and ebb and flow? And so you need some more tools for your toolkit. You need some more things to equip you for yourself. But also in the ministry process, as you're helping people gain victory in their life. And so I want to talk about and deal with depression and anxiety. Now, John chapter 10, verse 10, and most of you have this memorized, but I want to read this as a reminder to us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So we know that the enemy always wants to steal, always wants to kill, always wants to destroy. But then listen to what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say abundant life. So I think you'll agree with me tonight that Jesus wants you to have a joyful, abundant, full life. That's his heart. That's his passion for you. But the enemy wants to do everything he can to steal, anything he can to destroy, anything he can to take you out. So remind yourself tonight that you are in the middle of a war. You're in the middle of a raging battle. It's not by accident that you're facing obstacles and challenges. You're in the middle of a war. And so the enemy will do everything he can to steal. Now, I'm about to say something that's really important and it's huge. So I want you to listen, please, very, very carefully. The enemy cannot steal your salvation. I'm going to say that again. The devil cannot steal your salvation. So do you know what he does? He steals the joy of your salvation. I'm going to say something else. The devil cannot steal your ministry. So you know what he tries to do? He tries to steal the joy out of ministry. And the Lord wants you to experience a full, joyful life. He wants you to enjoy your salvation, your relationship with him. And he wants you to enjoy ministry. Ministry doesn't have to be a burden. Ministry doesn't have to be this heavy weight. Ministry is truly a joy. Yes, there are hard times. Yes, there are sacrificial times. That's just part of life. But ministry is a joy. Living a life with the Lord is a joy. You ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. So why do you look miserable so much? Because the enemy's trying to steal your joy. And so the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, let me define this again how I did last night. Regret. Let me define this. I've defined this very, very simply. Regret is a feeling of sorrow for something that has happened. And all of us have experienced regret. So that could be disappointments. That could be mistakes that you have made. Things that you have said. I go through this all the time. I wish I could tell you that I have complete victory over this. I'm working on it. But I go through this process in my mind. Man, I wish I hadn't said that. Or why did I say that? Or I should have done it this way. Or what did that person think of me when I said that? And I go through this thing. It's regret. And of course, we can multiply that to bigger things where we've made mistakes in our life. So it could be disappointments. It could be missed opportunities. It could be the times that you have failed, where you have really failed, maybe in a relationship, maybe in an endeavor, a business endeavor. It could be losses. I wonder if there's someone here tonight where you've experienced some financial loss. What about the loss of a loved one? Maybe someone very close to you passed away and you feel like you didn't have the opportunity or the time that you longed for with them. And so there's this deep sense of regret. And let me say this to you, that God wants to give you peace. To know that, especially if they knew the Lord, you're going to have eternity with them. But we can all go through this sense of regret of losses or missed opportunities. So it's a sense of deep sorrow for something that has happened. But please listen, God doesn't want us to live in regret. Because if you live in regret, you start identifying more with the pain of the past than the hope of the future. And God wants us to identify with the hope of the future that he has for us. He wants you to be able to live life and enjoy life right now in this moment and to realize that your future is incredibly hopeful and incredibly bright. Say amen to that. And so that's a sense of regret. And so my prayer for us is that as we burst into this new year, as you celebrate 21 years, as you move forward in life and ministry, that there wouldn't be any regrets, but God would heal us. God would give us peace about those things. And we would be able to just move forward unhindered by any of those things in our life. Now, let me talk about depression and anxiety. Here are some things that lead to depression and anxiety. Here's some things I wrote down, and I'll bet you could identify with some of these things. One would be a loss of a job or income. That can certainly lead to depression. Could lead to anxiety. How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to provide for my family? So loss of job or income. Here's one. Unmet expectations. Have you ever had expectations about a relationship, about a job, expectations even with the Lord? And so those unmet expectations can lead to depression or anxiety. Here's another one. When life feels out of control. You might be here tonight and feel like life is a bit chaotic, that life is out of control. Could be with school, could be with your job, it could be with your family, and you're just trying to juggle all of these responsibilities, and it feels chaotic, a little bit of out of control. And so what happens is depression starts to set in, or you start feeling very, very anxious about things. Here's another one, sickness or injury. You know, if you're dealing with chronic pain tonight, or you've had an injury, albeit it could be an emotional injury, but what about a physical injury, prolonged pain? That can lead to depression. Most people that suffer from chronic pain also deal with depression and often with anxiety as well. Here's another one, unfulfilled goals. Maybe you've had some goals for yourself. Could be spiritual goals, could be financial, could be job, but you have really pressed in to try to pursue your goals. But they're unfulfilled. And so a sense of depression or even anxiety sets in. How about failures? You just messed up. You messed up, you failed. Well, you can start feeling depressed or anxious. Here's another one, rejection. If you have experienced deep rejection from a close friend or from someone that you know, then you might be struggling with depression. How about a loss of friends? Being alone, those kinds of things can lead to depression and anxiety. How about marital problems? Just a lot of tension in your marriage. You love the Lord, but you've been trying to work through some things. There's marital tension. And so what happens is you can start feeling depressed or even anxious about things. How about family responsibilities? You're trying to provide for your family. You're trying to have a good marriage. You're trying to be there for your kids. It's a lot of pressure. How about a troubled child? Maybe your child is really going through something in their teenage years, or maybe just even acting out as a little one. That could really lead to depression. What about divorce? Maybe you've gone through the heart-wrenching separation of a divorce. That can often lead to depression or to anxiety. Here's another one, relocation. Moving to another country can really begin to affect you emotionally. You're away from your support structure. You know, they say it takes a good 3 to 5 years to really get used to a new place. And so people will often go through depression or anxiety. Here's one. What about just growing old? You just can't seem to do the things that you used to do. You start realizing, wow, life is short. It starts caving in on you really quick. And you realize, wow, I don't have that much longer to live. Growing old can bring depression and can bring anxiety. And so I'll bet that even as I mentioned some of those, and you can probably think of a lot more than that, but all of those things can lead to depression or anxiety in your life. Now, this is nothing new. When you read the scripture, you hear the writers of the Psalms, you hear some of these great men of God, and they dealt with depression. David was one who really dealt with a lot of these emotions. I want you to listen to Psalm chapter 55, verses 4 to 8. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm. He is describing feelings of depression. He is describing feelings of wanting to just escape and wanting to get away from it all. In fact, many scholars actually think that King David was bipolar. And it seems like it. When you read the Psalms, he goes from just exalting and joy to really dark places where he is despondent. Or he's feeling overwhelmed. And so this is nothing new. In the Scriptures, we can see. You can see the swings of his emotion. Now, I want to put this up on the screen, because I really want this visual to be in your mind. I shared this last night. But this first picture of the train, this one here is this first picture of the train. You can only see, if you're looking out the window, you can only see in one direction. You can either look forward or you can look back. And may I say this, most of us, if we're really honest, often we're looking back too much. And God wants you to really look forward. But you can't see the whole picture. Now, this next picture is what I shared with you before, is that God looks at the big picture. So he sees the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. So he sees the locomotive. He sees the caboose. He sees it all at once. But you're stuck in the middle. And you might be in a season of depression, a season of sadness. Hear the word of the Lord tonight. This too shall end. And so God wants to touch you. God wants to give you victory. God wants to teach you how to bounce back, how to get victory. And so in this process of ministry, my encouragement is to invite the Holy Spirit to wherever you're at or wherever you experience certain places of regret and pain. Let him heal you in those areas. Give you peace so that you can move on. And so you can move on in health and in wholeness. So that you don't walk with a limp the rest of your life. So that you don't walk handicapped the rest of your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to really heal you so that you can be effective for him. Say amen to that. And so I want you to have this visual in your mind. Now, let me talk about the heartache of depression here so we can really get a handle on this. Now, I'm going to give you some simple definitions, but depression is an overwhelming and persistent sense of sadness. So it's more than just being sad about something that happened. It's this overwhelming, deep sense of sadness that persists. It just won't go away. Now, I think this will help us, but if you put your head on your pillow and you put a lightweight on a pillow, it will be depressed. That pillow is pushed down, depressed. When you lift your head off of that pillow, the pillow should go back pretty quickly to its original form. But if you put a heavy weight on that pillow, many pounds or many kilos on that pillow, notice this, it won't retain or go back to its original form very quickly. That's the difference of bouncing back versus being depressed and not coming out of it. And so in maturity, as you walk with the Lord, God wants us to really be able to bounce back. There are things that are going to happen in your life where you'll be sad. There'll be a sense of sorrow. But the key to maturity in Christ and continuing to grow in the Lord is to learn to respond to difficult situations, circumstances where we're sad. Allow the Lord to touch us, heal us quickly so that we can get our original form back. So that we can be full again, full of the Spirit, full of joy, full of power, that we retain that form instead of the weight pushing us down, where we feel depressed or anxious. And so this is the idea that the Lord would have us do, where we understand this. Now, when it comes to depression, the Bible gives us some interesting definitions. The first thing is this: your heart is sad. If you're depressed, your heart is sad. Listen to Nehemiah 2, verse 2. Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. So your heart is sad. And you know, I'm going to venture to say that many people that really love the Lord, you put on a brave face, you come to church, and you put on a very, very brave face. But if we took that mask off, there would be a sadness of heart from some things that you have experienced and things that you have walked through. A second aspect of depression is that your heart aches. You're not just sad about something, but you ache. Have you ever had something happen that was so painful that your heart literally ached? I've had that. Now, I wasn't just sad, but I could feel a pain in my chest. It was a physical pain. My heart ached. Listen to Proverbs 15, verse 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. So there's a sadness of heart, the heart aches. And then your heart can actually be in anguish. Listen to Psalm 38. 8 to 17, I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light is gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. I'm about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. That's anguish of the heart. And here's what happens is when you start carrying that, it does affect your relationships. And if you've known anyone or you've walked through this where there's a deep sense of depression, people start avoiding that person. You like to be around people that are happy. You like to be around people that are full of energy, that have hope. And if somebody's really struggling with something, there's a sense of loneliness and a sense of where it affects their relationships. And so I'm just trying to give us some definitions here and some descriptions of depression. Now, I've decided to put depression and anxiety together because I think in our society they often go hand in hand. So let me talk to you for a moment about the intensity of anxiety, and we'll describe where this begins to take us. So anxiety is an extreme uneasiness or distress over a threat or something unknown. And it's usually that, to be honest. It's a threat of something that is unknown. It's not for sure. It's not something they can really put their hand on. But it's this extreme uneasiness. In other words, it's characterized by extreme worry or fear. Worry that something bad is going to happen. Fearful that something bad is going to happen. Fearful that you might lose your job. Fearful that you're going to be deeply rejected by other people. Anxious about how other people are going to respond. This can often happen with panic attacks. Actually, anxiety is often accompanied by panic attack. A panic attack, and some of you may have experienced this, where it's a sudden, brief episode of like intense fear. And it usually has multiple physical symptoms. So somebody might hyperventilate, or they might just break out in a cold sweat. Sometimes their heartbeat is really beating fast. Some people have even described it as like a choking sensation. And some people even get nauseous. That would be a panic attack. That would be feeling anxious. And I've just noticed and observed that this is really increasing in our society. You know, if you think about it, our society is really, really fast-paced. There's a lot of pressure points. There's a lot of chaos. And so people start feeling overwhelmed, they start dealing with depression, and they start dealing with anxiety. And my brother and sister, what's really hard is when you see kids going through this. And a lot of kids are dealing with depression and even anxious about things. There's a lot of bullying that goes on at school. And so they're anxious about even going to school. They're anxious and depressed about the things that they're dealing with. My brother and sister, this is an epidemic in our society. And so even if you're not relating to this, even if you haven't gone through some of this yourself, please listen in, because this is really important for your kids. This is really important for the generations, so that we can bring victory and help our kids know how to live a victorious life. May we really pay attention to these things, because this is really something that's hitting our societies, and it's global. It's not just in North America. It's not just in Asia. It's all over the world. It's a human condition. And so let me give you some scriptures when it comes to anxiety. Listen to Job 21, verse 6. He talks about physical symptoms. When I think about this, I am terrified. Trembling seizes my body. When somebody's really afraid, they actually can shake. They can tremble when they're really feeling anxious. It also brings fear of social gatherings. When somebody's really going through this, if they're really dealing with anxiety, they don't even want to be around crowds. There's a social anxiety that takes place. Job 31, verse 34, because I so feared the crowd, I kept silent and would not go outside. There are people that have a lot of social anxiety, and so they tunnel down, they isolate themselves, they're afraid to go out. And this is something to think about. You may have had this for a long time, or you know somebody that has had anxiety or depression for a long time. Psalm 88, verse 15 says this, from my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered terrors and am in despair. It seems that David dealt with a lot of these things his entire life. And so sometimes these are things that are for a long time. Now, the great news is this, is that Jesus wants to set you free, wants to heal you, and really teach you how to have victory. And even if you get depressed or sad, wants you to be able to bounce back up and live in the fullness of joy. Amen, church? And so, let me just mention this, and then I'm going to give you some steps toward victory. Depression and anxiety can really take you to a dark place. Now, one thing I've discovered about this is depression can often be anger or hurt and frustration turned inward. So what will often happen is somebody may have a lot of goals, a lot of dreams, but these unmet expectations, they begin to turn inward. So there's frustration with themselves or anger even toward the Lord. Lord, you told me this. Lord, I thought this was going to happen, and yet it doesn't. And so you're a good Christian because you don't think you should be angry with the Lord. So what do? You turn it inward, and you start getting angry with yourself. Or you start getting angry with the people that are around you, who have rejected you, have treated you terribly. But you're a good Christian. You're not going to take it out on them. So what do? You internalize it and you carry it. And then it turns to depression. It turns to anxiety. And so be aware of those things, because the Lord wants to really teach us to be able to how to recognize these things and go to Him instead of internalizing it, tunneling down. And then we begin to carry that hurt and anger and frustration in our own hearts, and then it might turn to depression. Something to really, really think about. And so it can take you to a dark place. And I use that term very, very purposefully, because part of the antidote is for you to turn the lights on. If you're in a dark place, you got to turn the lights on. Listen to Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the light. You got to turn the lights on. Jesus said it this way, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. And so we started at the beginning by saying that Jesus wants to give you life. Abundant life. The enemy's always trying to steal your joy, steal your peace, steal the victory that you have. Now think about this. A thief always does something in secret. Does it in the dark of night. And how do you strip a thief of its power? You expose that thief. How do you expose a thief? You turn the lights on. And so you got to learn to turn the lights on. You got to run to the light. You got to run to Jesus. You got to learn to turn the lights on. And so hopefully tonight, some of the things that I'm going to submit to you, to some steps toward victory, it's the process of turning the lights on. Where you've been in a dark place in your mind or in your heart, or you know somebody that way, let's learn how to turn the lights on. And that'll strip the enemy of his power. Take the enemy away from his bluff. Take the enemy away from his crippling effects and turn the light on. And so may God teach us and show us how to do that. Listen to Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Shadows happen in the dark. You turn the light on, and shadows disappear. But this is a shadow of death. When somebody goes to the dark place, they start feeling the shadows. The Lord wants to turn the light on. You got to say to yourself, you know what? I'm not dead yet. It's just a shadow, but I turn the light on so that shadows can disappear. And God doesn't want you to live in the shadows. Say amen to that. He doesn't want you to live in the dark. Say amen to that. He wants you to live in the light. Please say amen to that. And so we have to learn to turn the lights on. And so I hope that I've been able to describe this and to give us a sense of how intense this is and how important this is. And so even if you haven't struggled with this, but I'm going to surmise that most of us here can relate to some of these things because we're human and we need to learn to bounce back. But regardless, you know somebody that in the ministry process, God wants you to help them get victory in their life. And so I want to submit some steps toward victory for you. Now listen to Deuteronomy 20 and verses 3 to 4. Today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. And so this is a battle. This is a battle. But God wants to give you the victory. God wants to give you the joy. God wants to give you the power to overcome this. And so let me submit some steps toward victory that I think will help you. Number one, you need help. You need help. If somebody is feeling this, they really need help. As I said last night, most people, when they start going through a difficult time, unfortunately start pushing other people away. I've seen this again and again in church where somebody starts going through something and then they disappear. And we try to reach out to them, but they isolate themselves. And really what they need more than anything is fellowship. When you're going through a hard time, you've got to be courageous enough to not be embarrassed. It's understandable. But you've got to be courageous enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to be ashamed about things. It's amazing how people will feel embarrassed or ashamed about something, so they'll push themselves away. But do you know that you're sitting next to a whole bunch of people that have phenomenal testimonies? If you only knew the things and the pain that some of your brothers and sisters have walked through, you would be astounded. And so you're not alone, but the enemy will mess with your mind to make you think that you're the only one in the world that has ever gone through this. And that is a lie, and you have to accept the fact that it's a lie. And so I just beg you tonight, in the name of Jesus as a brother, if you start going through something, please don't isolate yourself. You need some help. especially when you're feeling depressed and you're feeling anxious. You need other people. Now, I want to contrast two verses here out of Galatians. The first one is in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, carry each other's burdens. Now, you know that we all have burdens, and this is the mandate, that we would carry each other's burdens. And so we need to help one another. I don't have time to do a word study on this, but in the Greek, this word burden is a picture of a boulder, a huge boulder. And so imagine that in your mind, that you're trying to carry this massive boulder on your shoulder, on your head. That's the picture of burden here. And so you need some help carrying that burden. Now, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, it says this, each one should carry his own load. In the Greek, that's the picture of like a backpack. So you and I, we all have a backpack. We need to carry our own load. And have you ever met someone who doesn't want to carry their own backpack? They're always hey, would you carry my backpack? And they do it emotionally. They do it financially. They don't want to take financial responsibility. They expect everybody to do everything for them. No, you've got to carry your own backpack. There are certain responsibilities in life, spiritual and social responsibilities, that you need to carry your own backpack. But then there are other people that they're carrying a burden, and they don't want anyone's help. They have this huge, massive boulder, and everybody sees that they can hardly carry it, and everybody thinks, you need help. I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. And usually that's somebody who their entire life has been a survivor. Nobody was there to help them. They've had to do it all by themselves. But you know, even if you've done that in the past, you do need some help once in a while. And so if it's a boulder, you got to get some help. You got to discern whether it's a backpack or a boulder. And really only you in your heart can discern that, but other people can give you wisdom. Discern whether it's a backpack or it's a boulder. When it's depression, that's a boulder. You need some help. You need to invite people to be part of the process and be part of your life. And so that's really important. Now, here's what's hard is when you see someone carrying a boulder and they don't want help, and everything in you, you want to help them, but they just keep pushing you away. That's not easy. You just have to keep praying, keep working, keep trying to be the person that can carry that boulder with them. The second thing is this, you need truth. When you go to a dark place, you got to turn the light on, and you have to understand truth. Now, Jesus said it this way in John 8, 31 to 32, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the enemy comes with his lies and makes you think that there's no way out of the dark place, no way out of depression, no way out of anxiety. He begins to smother you and overwhelm you with lies. And so you need an encounter with truth. What is the truth? No, the truth is that Jesus came to give you life, and that to the fullest. He came to give you joy. That's the truth. And so you have to learn to have an encounter with truth. What is the truth about my thoughts? And do you know that you have to have an encounter with truth even with your feelings? You know, you can't always trust your feelings. You might respond emotionally to a situation, but your feelings also need to be renewed. When the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, that we shouldn't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, it's not just talking about your intellect. Your mind comprises your soul, which involves your emotions and your feelings. Do you know that sometimes you have to renew your feelings? So that when you were young, maybe something would happen and you responded negatively in a situation. It took you to a dark place. You can renew your emotions to such an extent that now in maturity in Christ, if something bad happens, it doesn't take you to a dark place any longer. You still have the joy of the Lord. So you renew your mind, you renew your intellect, but you renew your emotions as well. But you need an encounter with truth. What's the truth? The truth is, you don't have to live in a dark place. You don't have to live in depression. And you really need to start acknowledging what Jesus has actually accomplished for you. Renew your mind, your heart, renew your intellect and your emotions to who you actually are in Christ. That takes time. You have to acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge his divine power in certain situations. Let me illustrate this to you. I heard about a farmer who had a goat. And he wanted to transfer that goat from one farm to another. And so he tied up the goat, the hoofs, front and back, threw that goat in the back of a truck. Transferred it from one farm to the other, took the goat out of the back of the truck, put it on the ground, cut the cords, and then just kind of gave a nudge to the goat. Goat tried to stand up, but what was interesting, when the goat stood up, it still had its hooves together, and it fell over. Farmer said, that's interesting. And so he kind of kicked it again, said, come on, get up. Goat got up, but still held its hooves together and fell over again. You know what happened? That goat, listen carefully, thought it was tied up. It had been bound so much and so tightly that it had the sensation of being tied up, but yet it was free. My brother and sister, that describes much of our walk with Christ. You are free. That's the truth. But yet you have this sensation of being tied up because of your past experiences, because of past depression, or because of a loss. And so it sent you to depression, to a dark place. So you still feel like you're tied up. You have this sensation of being tied up, but you have to have an encounter with the truth. The truth is you're free. Now, here's the good news. The more you understand that and you apply the truth to your situation, the sensation will begin to change. You'll no longer feel tied up, but you'll feel free in the joy of the Lord. But it's going to take some strength on your part and renewing your mind and believing truth. Listen carefully. Believing truth more than your feelings. You do realize that truth is more powerful than fact. I'm going to say that again. Truth is more powerful than fact. Example. The fact might be that you're in pain tonight, sick. Truth, Jesus heals your sickness. Fact, you might have lost your job, can't pay your bills. Truth, he'll provide for you according to his riches and glory. Are you starting to see the difference? There might be a fact here on earth, but the truth, God's economy, overrides the fact. And so the fact might be, yeah, I have this sensation of being depressed, or this sensation of, that I'm going to a dark place. Truth, you're free from that. Truth, you're no longer tied up. Truth, you can walk in the freedom of Christ. Amen. And so number one, you might need help. Number two, you need truth. You need truth. May God give us the truth. The third step, I would say this, is you need perspective. Need perspective in your life. 2 Corinthians 1, 8-11. Listen to Paul. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Sounds like depression. Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, who wrote half or two-thirds of the New Testament, despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. That's perspective. When you start going through a hard time, you say, you know what? God brought me through this before. When I went through a financially difficult time, I don't know how I did it, but somehow God did it and we made it. Maybe you were sick before. I don't know how we got through it, but somehow I got healed. You made it. You made it. He did it before, and he's going to do it again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. And then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now I want you to look at that part of the verse again where it says, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. You know, sometimes when you go through a difficult time, you start learning to rely on God. In other words, let me say this, and I hope you can receive this. It's possible that what you're going through could be a blessing in disguise. Now, let me be clear. Let me be very, very clear. It's not that what you're going through, it's not that the things you're going through are from God, but they drive you to God. Now, that's really important theologically, because some people mess that up and confuse that. The things that you're going through are not necessarily from God, but they drive you to God. And then God begins to use them. And so it's a sense that even what you're going through might be a blessing in disguise. Let me give you a couple examples. Maybe you're going through depression or a difficult time because you've lost friends, relationships. And so you feel very, very lonely. Could it be that even that could be a blessing in disguise? Number one, it drives you to the Lord. And now you're more intimate because all you've got is Jesus. That's not that bad. Could be a blessing in disguise. And maybe some of those friends really weren't propelling you to the kingdom of God. To the contrary, bad company corrupts good character. But now that's been ripped away from you. And what are you doing? You're running to Jesus. Could be a blessing in disguise. Or maybe they're the relationships that really drag you down, suck the life out of you, pull everything away from you. They're always taking from you. And so God has taken that away from you. And now he's bringing wholesome relationships around you. People that will believe in you, encourage you, and propel you to the kingdom of God. That's not a bad deal. So it could be a blessing in disguise. Or what if it's finances? Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you're trying to figure out how to pay the debt. How in the world are you going to make it? But now more than ever, you're learning to pray for daily bread. And you're learning that Jesus is the bread of life. Those are lessons that when God does that deep work in your heart, nobody can take that away from you. Say amen to that. And so sometimes it can be a blessing in disguise. To be clear, and I want to repeat it again, it's not that God put that stuff on you. It's not that it's from God, but instead it drives me to God. And so then the perspective here is that God delivered before and he can do it again. So if you're going through a difficult time, this is maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ says this: you know what, I'm going through this difficult time, but I'm going to remember the goodness of God. And I'm going to remember that the last time I couldn't pay any bills, but somehow he came through. He's my daily bread. And the last time I felt so alone and I felt so discouraged, he came through and met me in a deep way that I could never explain. And I am closer and more intimate with him than ever before. That's perspective. You begin to rely on God. Can you say amen, church? And so we need perspective. The fourth one is this: you need to hold on to the good. You need to hold on to the good in your life. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 23. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me stop right there, because some people misread this passage. And they think that all circumstances are God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's not what the Bible verse said. The verse didn't say that. The verse says to give thanks in all circumstances, to be joyful always, to pray continually. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus. Not every single circumstance. is God's will, so don't misread the verse. He says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Go ahead and test everything, but hold on to the good. Would you please say that out loud? Say, hold on to the good. Hold on. Hold on to the good. Now, this is important, because he says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. You know what happens is when you start going through a hard time, it's hard to even believe the prophetic and the promises, because you've been so disappointed. And now Paul reminds you, no. Don't treat it with contempt. Don't despise it. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Allow the Lord to still speak into your heart and into your mind and into your life to give you hope. And so don't despise that. Hold on. Hold on to the good. You might be here and say, well, somebody prophesied over me and it never happened the way they said. Well, you know what? People are really people. They're human. But hold on to the good. Hold on to the good. Hold on to those things that God speaks about you. And then he says, avoid every kind of evil. Do you know when you're in a dark place, there'll be incredible temptation. You might start thinking of questionable ways to get money. You might run to certain things to escape. He says, avoid the evil. Don't get drunk. Don't run and get high. Don't try to escape. It's understandable that people might feel that way, but he's very clear. Avoid every kind of evil. Don't go to dead places for life. Avoid every kind of evil. Then he says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So hold on to the good. And the fifth one I want to submit to you today to get victory over this is you need an encounter with God. If you're struggling with depression or fear, you know somebody who is, they need an encounter with God. 2 Timothy 1:7, I decided to read it out of the New King James Version. It says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, I want you to take notice that he says a spirit of fear. This is really important. Because people that are dealing with anxiety, what happens is people start taking on labels. It breaks my heart. I spoke to a little girl recently in church, and here's what she said, because she was feeling anxious about things and talked to a counselor at school. And she says, well, my anxiety. And then she began to describe her situation. But you know what happened? Somebody labeled her, and she took that on as her identity. Now, don't misunderstand. I think there's an aspect of being real that we say, oh, yeah, we're feeling depressed and anxious. But she was taking that on as identity. Now, this is really important because the Bible says here that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. It's really important. In other words, it's not just your anxious feelings. There's an element of spiritual warfare, and you need to really understand that. If you want complete freedom, you have to understand that the Bible talks about fear as being a spirit of fear. This sense of anxiety and depression, it all comes as an attack. And so the Bible says here, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power. Those two things are really important. You need an encounter with love, an encounter with power. You need a greater revelation of God's extravagant love for you as his child, that he gave his one and only son for you. He loves you so much, doesn't want you to live in depression or anxiety, doesn't want you to be all bound up by that, loves you so much that he wants to set you free from that. And wants to give you power by the Holy Spirit to break off fear so that you can live in fullness and live in joy. Amen, church? This is going to take me a few minutes to share, but I feel like it's really important. And I share this at the retreat for some of your leaders. Yeah, you know, I grew up in the Congo. My parents were missionaries in the Congo, right in the middle of Africa. And so when I was young, we lived in a very remote area. There was a time where we had no electricity, no running water, no indoor plumbing. Later, we moved to a little bigger town, and we had electricity most of the time. And we had running water most of the time. And then we moved to the capital city, and we had electricity a little more of the time. And we had indoor plumbing a little more of the time, running water. And so this is the context that I grew up in. But when we were in a remote area, the denomination that my parents served, they required that children had to go to the capital city to go to school. And their reasoning was twofold. One, they wanted the parents to be more focused on ministry instead of their family. That's not a very good message for the kids. I'll say this. God should be first in your life, then your family, then your ministry or career. And so a generation ago, sometimes churches would teach, oh, God's first, then the ministry, and then family. And so families would be sacrificed. But God wants, your first ministry is your family. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
And so that wasn't a very good message. The other reason is they wanted us to go off to school to experience social things. And my mom was actually a teacher. So she could have homeschooled us, but they weren't allowed to homeschool us. So at the age of 7, I had to go live in a dormitory and be away from my parents. That was really hard for me. I started having nightmares. But it was more than nightmares. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would be running down the hallway with demons chasing me. I'd wake up screaming. My older sister, who was 2 years older than me, we had a girl's room and a boy's room. And so I would sneak into the girl's room and crawl into her bed. So she's only 9 years old, but she would try to talk me through it. And I would refer to these demons, listen carefully, I called them the tummy people because my tummy would just feel just in knots and just anxious and so much fear. And so I would say to my sister, she reminded me of this years later. I didn't even remember it, but she said, yeah, you called them the tummy people. And so I'd say the tummy people are back, and she would try to talk me through it. And I would be looking around and I'd think that a demon was there and monsters were there. And she would try to talk me through. Can you imagine, 9-year-old girl? And so I started having fear. I would go to bed every night and my prayer was this, Jesus, please don't let me dream tonight. Jesus, please don't let me dream tonight. I didn't want any dreams. In fact, as an adult, I had to kind of repent of that word curse because I said, Lord, if you want to give me a good dream, I'll take it. But I didn't want any dream because all dreams I knew were bad. Now, here's the thing is that I struggled with fear growing up my whole life, into my adulthood, into the beginning of my marriage and ministry. I still had fear. It would usually go like this. Once I got married, then it started being like this. I'd be afraid that something bad would happen to Sarah and then something bad would happen to the kids. It would be fearful. And so we would pray, we would do warfare, trying. We knew it was a spiritual battle, but it dominated my life. I would go on a trip to a new country, and God would be moving and doing something powerfully, and then I would go back to my little hotel room, and I didn't say it this way, but the tummy people would be back. That sense of fear, that sense of anxiety. I was really praying about this, and our friend Tom, a close friend of ours, I was talking to Tom, and Tom looks at me and he says, Eric, he says, I think that goes back to when you were a little kid, when you were sent away, and suddenly the lights went on. Amazing how one simple statement, the lights can be turned on. And I said, wow, that's got to be it. And I begin to pray into it. Now, two things happened. The first thing is this. I felt in my heart that I had to talk to my parents about it. Because I needed love. But I was afraid. I was really afraid to tell my dad. Because I thought my dad would say something like, that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And he would defend the denomination. So I was afraid of that. But I felt in my heart I needed to talk to them. And I'll never forget, we sat down at the kitchen table and I started telling him more about the fear in my life and how the anxiety was there. And my parents began to weep. Even my dad just wept. And they said, son, we are so, so sorry. And then I didn't realize that my mom went through clinical depression after that. She was on Valium and different things for a while until the Lord healed her. In fact, that's when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because she was in such agony because her little kids were away and she was just crying out to the Lord. And, you know, God gave her prayer language just to give her strength to get through. I didn't even know any of that. And when they extended their love to me, just God's love just began to wash over me. So I had to have love, because he hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power. And so part two of that is that I had to go through deliverance. Now, it's really weird when you love the Lord and you're in ministry and demons are coming out of you. That feels really weird. But afterwards, you feel free. So let me tell you this. And this is my testimony. You're looking at a healed man and a free man. I don't struggle with any fear. Do I have to take captive thoughts sometimes? Sure, I have to take captive thoughts. But I have no fear, much to the chagrin of our intercessors and prayer team, because I'll go to the Congo where there's guerrilla warfare right in the middle of the Ebola crisis, and I just have immense peace. Not only peace, but joy. I'm like, in the middle, I have military trucks rushing by me, guerrilla warfare. We're in the middle of a church packed. Everybody's got Ebola. That's a true story. The only difference is we didn't lay hands on each other. But everybody was there. But I just had peace, joy, no fear at all. Did I have to take captive thoughts? Sure. I started going on Google a little bit and reading about Ebola, and I thought, I better quit reading this or I'm going to get sick. You do have to take captive thoughts, right? But I just had peace. I have no fear. God is so good. But look what happened. My dad wept for me. That's huge. Don't miss that. My dad, who I was afraid of his response, just cried at the table and said, son, I'm so sorry. I knew my mom would have compassion, but my dad, hear the word of the Lord tonight. Your dad is weeping for you. Your Abba is weeping for you. Your dad is crying for you. Whatever that situation or pain is, he's crying for you tonight. And so the revelation of his love, and then the encounter of the power of the Holy Spirit to drive out every demonic force to set me free. And tonight, think about that train. Wherever you're at in that train, maybe for me, it was back when I was a little boy. But here's the amazing thing about redemption. Jesus is a time traveler. That's another message. But he travels through time because he's outside of time. I'll prove it to you. He shows up in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. Time traveler. Suddenly shows up. Well, he's a time traveler. And he showed up when I was 7 years old. And healed my heart. Wherever you're at on that train, he can come. Travel into time. Heal your heart. So that you don't have to be hindered by this. Can you say amen, church? I have more, but I think we should stop and just go to ministry. I would, if this is touching your heart and you want to go a little deeper, finish by reading 1 Kings 19 and look at Elijah. I won't take time to read it because I want to be sensitive to your time. But you should read that. Because here's a great man of God who did amazing stuff for the Lord, and he got depressed. He was alone. He was running for his life. There's a lot there that I could teach on depression. And he felt like he was all alone. That's what happens when you're going through this. I'm the only one that's struggling with this. And God tells him, I have 7,000 others. You're not alone. Hear the word of the Lord tonight. You're not alone. There are others that have gone through what you're going through, that are feeling your pain. You're not alone. You need others. Let them help you carry the burden. Say amen to that. And so there's more I could say, but you go further. You go further with the Holy Spirit. And so what I feel in my heart, we're gonna pray for a number of things tonight. But I do want to pray for anyone that is struggling with any kind of depression tonight. You're looking at a free man. And if the Lord, freely I have received, freely I will give. And we want to cut some things off where the enemy might have tried to attach himself, might have tried to pull you down emotionally and hinder you. We want to cut those things off of your life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet and let's have the worship team come up here. But I've also got some words of knowledge, and we just want to release some healing to some of you guys tonight. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love the Lord? You've been so kind and patient listening to me tonight. I just pray that you've received something from this. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want you to just, in the privacy of where you are, just you and the Lord, would you just please just bow your head for a moment? So just in the privacy of where you are, maybe you're here tonight and you love the Lord. You're like Elijah. You've done some amazing things. But you feel like, you know what? I just don't bounce back as quick as I want to. I really get depressed, that weight on that pillow. Just right in the privacy of where you are, with every eye closed. If you feel like, yeah, I've struggled with depression, I want you to just lift your hand just quietly to the Lord. Just you and the Lord. Yeah. Lord, I pray that you'll just begin to pour out extravagant love tonight. Abba, Daddy. Begin to pour out love, to flesh out just the hurt and the insecurity. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you that you'll come with power. I thank you for this church that has ministries of inner healing and the river and discipleship. But I'm asking tonight, Spirit of God, that you would just drive out and away every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. That fear that cripples, that keeps us from really being ourselves and walking in joy and really keeping us from even ministering effectively because we're so worried and anxious. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to come tonight and to do a great work to drive out and away every evil spirit that attaches to us. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna open up the altars in a moment. But I also want to just give some words, because this afternoon the Lord was just really touching my heart for some of you for physical healing. And so there's a number of people here the Lord's shown me that you have TMJ. Do you know what that is, where you open your mouth and your jaw kind of clicks? You clench your teeth. And there's even a couple of you where you were given a mouth guard so you don't clench your teeth at night, like a retainer or a mouth guard. But the Lord is showing me that a lot of that is just the pressure that you've been feeling. Some anxiety. You're going to see a breakthrough tonight. God's going to begin to lift that, and you're going to start seeing a physical healing because of the emotional breakthrough. So that's a number of you. You can respond to that. Yeah. There's somebody else that you've got. There's something going on with your tendon in your foot. And it's right on the bottom of your foot. There's a tendon there. It's what we would call like your arch, but you just get really just pain right in your feet. And tonight's your night. Tonight's your night to be healed. Yeah. I've got somebody else, the Lord showed me, you were in an athletic injury, and you've just got pain right down in your knee. It just aggravates you. I mean, you're good. You make it. You manage it. But you just get this aching here, and sometimes you get a sharp pain in your knee. Tonight's your night. Tonight's your night. Yeah. I've got someone else, you get ringing in your ears at times. A little bit of ringing. Tonight's your night. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got somebody else that actually has a kidney issue, and I don't know, I'm not even going to attempt, but there's something about the levels where you went to the doctor, and is that the pH level? There's something about, like, the levels are high. I don't know that language, but they told you that there's some concern about your kidney function. Tonight, God's just going to flush that out. You're not going to have to worry about any of that after tonight. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we love you tonight. We love you. Worship you. Thank you, Lord. We honor you. Holy Spirit. Yep. There's someone else. You've got hemorrhoids. That's been really painful. And you're going to be healed of that tonight. And then I got someone else that you really like spicy food, but when you eat it, you just get just in your stomach. You just have a real adverse reaction. In fact, it's right in your esophagus and comes up here. But God wants to heal that tonight so that you can enjoy. You can enjoy it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so I could have had you guys raise your hand and respond and everything, but I know that the Lord said those things. So let's worship. And then as we worship, if you had one of those physical conditions, come forward so that, and then just tell me so I can pray and agree for you. But at the same time, if this message has touched you in any way, and you say, wow, I really want victory in that area of my life, then you come. You come and begin to seek the Lord, and we'll begin to pray for you. The ministry team will begin to pray for you. And I also want to say this, because you might be in a really good place tonight, but I'm going to guess you have a family member or somebody that you know is dealing with this. And you come to the front and let's agree for them together. Let's agree. Come to the altar and begin to contend for them in the spirit. Do the warfare. Come against that spirit of fear. The Holy Ghost is showing me right now. There, somebody here, you've got a family member that deals with social anxiety. They won't even come to church with you because they have social anxiety. I'm going to invite you, my dear friend, come and do the warfare and come against that spirit of fear. I'm not dismissing counseling and psychological issues and healing. I'm not dismissing that. But what you can do tonight is do the warfare against that spirit. Say amen, church. Say amen to that. Okay? So maybe you're in a good place, but you got to do some warfare for people. There's something about coming to the altar. So let's worship, and then you come. You come as the Lord leads you tonight.
much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you?
guys that have come up, just be patient, right? Just keep worshiping. You want to make sure that Pastor Eric prays for you before you leave. There's a lot of anointing. You know, not that we, you know, trust in a man, but God is using this man. And so just please continue to worship the Lord. For you guys that are sitting, you can feel free to come and pray for your friends as we just kind of wait and be patient. But trust me, it'll be worth the wait, okay? And so let's just continue to worship God and ask the Spirit to continue to move over us. And then you guys can intercede, right, for the ones that are here that are very patiently waiting for the prayer.
Take my weeping and turn it into love. Take my sadness, turn it into joy.
You knock on the door of my heart, so I will answer you. I will answer you. You make me a covenant of love, so I will walk with you. I will walk with you. You know. You knock on the door of my heart, so I will answer you. I will answer you. You make me a covenant of love, so I will walk with you. I will walk with you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
Oh,
never known a love like yours. I've never known a love like yours. No, I've never known a love like yours. I've never known a love like yours. No, I've never known a love like yours.
Everything passes here.